This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Mark Watson, he's not only a comedian, but also an author, a sports pundit, and a husband. He was born in 1980, and according to the life expectancy of his socioeconomic group and his body mass index, he's going to die in 2056. So luckily we've got him on the phone just in the nick of time. Good morning, Mark.
Hi there, how are you?
Good, welcome to the Hump Day crew.
Thank you very much.
Now, are you concerned about the amount of time you've got left to live, Mark?
Well, yeah, I'm always concerned about that because I don't really want to die, but then I think, according to what you said, it was about 40-odd years. I think that's from my website, wasn't it, those figures you quoted?
It was, yes.
I think I did a test and it said 2056, so that does give me quite a while yet, to be fair.
You're right.
And the world might not be a great place to live by that time, hopefully.
But what do you think will get you in the end? What's your biggest fear, Mark?
Well, I don't know. I drink quite a lot, so you'd expect some sort of booze-related condition. But then I might just be one of these old people that just sort of cling on unexpectedly. Also quite sort of anxious generally, so it wouldn't surprise me if something stupid finished me off, like a heart attack brought on just by, you know, a car horn or something.
What about?
Basically a shock. I reckon I'll die of some sort of shock.
Not lightning, by any chance?
Well, I mean, I'm permanently scared of being struck by lightning. And there were storms forecast for today, actually, so when I woke up this morning, I thought this would probably be the day I'd die. But looking outside, it's just kind of wind and rain more. And it's even brightening up now, so it looks like I might see through to the end of another day.
Now, one of the things you're best known for is your two marathon shows that you've done at the Edinburgh Festivals. Tell us about them.
I've done a few, actually. I've done five, I think, there.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe four and two in Melbourne. I've done two here the past 2 years. Basically, it's hard to describe, really, but I've done 24 hours both times. In Edinburgh, I did do 36 hours once, but that was a bit long. And basically, I just get on stage, talk for a really long time, and that's it. Other people come in as guests and things like that. But it's mostly me. It's mostly me just keeping going however I can.
Do you do one-liners in that, or anecdotes, or stories? How do you keep funny?
Really, there's hardly any comedy in it, actually. It's more just a long kind of endurance act, and the audience obviously get heavily involved, and most of it's just me kind of improvising in whatever way I can. So it's not even mostly stories or jokes, it's mostly just kind of anything, like stunts and rambling and anything. And by the end, it just becomes more about whether I'm going to keel over, so it becomes more like a kind of an event than a show, yeah.
Mark, you're a Welshman? And it seems to be a year for the Welshman this year because Duffy's doing quite well. Are you excited about 2009?
Yes, I think our rugby team's in good shape. Duffy's obviously going from, as you say, from strength to strength. Yes, I think this could be quite a memorable year. Well, Duffy kind of had her breakthrough the year last year, but she's getting more and more famous at the moment. And Zita Jones is still out there. So, yes, Wales is very, very slowly taking over the world.
But what's happened to Charlotte Church? What's happened, Mark?
She's mostly having babies and stuff, she said, from what I can make out. She and her sort of her husband, Gary Henson, the sort of dissolute rugby player, is still getting in the headlines by getting into trouble in nightclubs and stuff. So they're still a slightly sort of slightly debased first couple of Wales. But I think she's still on the telly, Charlotte Church. I think she's still got like a chat show and stuff, you know.
That's always good. And what about, I've heard tale of someone called Darren Curtis. Who's Darren Curtis?
Oh, he's a person that I don't like at home, who I tried to invite my whole audience to send him hate mail on the first night. And I'm not sure if anyone has yet. After I'd done it, I realised it was sort of a rash thing to do. But on the other hand, it was quite popular with the audience, and it would be pretty funny, I think, because it's quite easy to sort of get carried away on stage and start a hate campaign against someone, forgetting that people will quite often take you seriously.
Actually, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Well, I actually heard about him from your show as well, so a couple of my friends, so it's always that theory of one person tells one person, they tell a couple of people.
That's right. It could end up being an enormous global movement to wipe this man out. he's not even that bad a guy, he's just a bit annoying.
He's got his wife to protect him, I'm sure.
He hasn't got a wife. If he had a wife, I'd probably go easier on him.
Oh, right. Okay.
He's a lad. He's a bit of a lad. He's that sort of person.
Now, from one of your past shows, another thing I know you're not a fan of is the Australian accent, Mark. What's wrong with it?
Sorry, I tried to sneak in a sip of orange juice there, but I thought you were going to keep talking for a bit longer. I find it just quite kind of sort of relaxing, really. I find Australians quite relaxing to talk to. Yeah, the accent is kind of quite, this sort of drawl with the long vowels and everything. It just makes people always feel like they're not in any hurry, you know. It's just a lot less urgent than in Britain, where people sort of bark at each other and stuff. It all adds to sort of not being as stressed, basically.
And you've actually lost, well, you haven't got a very strong Welsh accent, have you? You sound quite...
No, it's kind of petered out. I've been living in London for quite a long time now. London, you sort of lose your natural accent and just develop an accent which basically involves shouting at people and calling them appalling names.
Yeah, I don't miss that from London at all.
But no, you sound like a Londoner yourself,
are
you?
Yeah, I am. Yes, mate.
You remember, most Londoners are basically just permanently angry, so your accent just becomes a sort of yell.
Yeah, you do. You just need to shout and just get out of the way, I'm coming through!
That is the main phrase you need in London, yeah.
Now, tell us about Crap at the Environment, Mark.
Well, that was a sort of a book I wrote and a kind of little movement that I set up to try and conquer my... basically, I'd never had any sort of... made any useful contribution to the green thing at all. And I started to think, oh, I should really pay more attention to this. I am basically crap at it. So, yeah, I just started trying to do very small things to sort of... improve my environmental, lessen my sort of environmental impact, and started a bit of a movement with people who are basically interested in the environment, but crap at it. And now I've written a book about it and stuff, just sort of a sort of idiot's guide to being green, basically.
It sounds like you're tucking into a bit of breakfast there, Mark. You're right. Is it nice? Do you like the food in Melbourne?
This is very nice, a pancake with sort of mixed berries, yeah. It's been sitting in front of me for this whole interview, and I caved and just had a tiny, tiny spoonful there.
Do you...
I love the food in Melbourne, yeah.
You love coming over here?
It's just, sometimes you have to sort of be sneaky and eat it in situations like this.
So, you've been over here, because I remember seeing you and going to watch one of your shows 2 years ago.
Yeah, this is my fourth year in a row, in fact, that I've been out here, yeah.
Brilliant. And you enjoy your time over here? It's one of your favourite places to perform?
It's probably my favourite place to perform, yeah. It's great. I mean, Australia in general, but especially Melbourne, I always have a great time here. Lovely audiences, and the food's great, the weather's pretty good. Basically, everything's really nice, yeah. I've just done a kind of 60 shows in a row in the UK, so to come out here feels like almost like a holiday, yeah.
And they're firing up the cappuccino machine behind you, can you as well?
That's right, yeah.
Can you give me a skinny latte while we're there?
I certainly can, yeah. I'll order that now.
Beautiful.
I'm pulling her over.
Thank you. Now, notice, you like a bit of influence. You're influencing a bit of hate mail towards your fellow Welshmen. You're influencing people in the environment. We're actually looking for a Deputy Prime Minister here in Australia at the moment. Would you be interested in the role, Mark?
Of course I'd be interested. I've been looking for some sort of project to do with Kevin for a long time now. Travis, not being an Australian citizen, I'm not sure if I qualify, or can you get past that with a bit of red tape, do you reckon?
Yeah, as long as you know the words to Waltz and Matilda, and you can go, oh, yeah, you'll be fine,
mate.
Yeah, I
reckon I could get as far as the Coolabah tree, at least, yeah.
That's where we always get to the Coolabah tree, and you get lost.
Yeah, what is it, a jump back and a SWAT tucker bag? I reckon I could bluff my way through it. I can certainly say, oh, yeah. So, Deputy Prime Minister, here I come, I reckon.
Excellent. And what would be the first change you'd make to Australia, Mark?
Well, there's not a lot I would do, so I'd be quite a popular Prime Minister, I think, because I really like it here already, so I'd mostly just flatter everyone and say, yep, this is all great, keep going. The only trouble I've really had in Melbourne is keep getting into taxis, and taxi drivers never seem to know their way around, and of course I don't really either. So I think I'd pass a law that if you're a taxi driver, you have to have a basic familiarity with Melbourne streets.
You would definitely get a lot of people's vote with that, Mark.
I reckon that in Sydney as well. I've had the same problem in Sydney, so let's call that an Australia-wide rule, actually. If you're driving a taxi, you can't ask the person where this place is. They have to be able to ask you. I think that's the sort of basic law of taxis in most places.
Good man.
Well, Mark, thank you very much for talking to us today. You can catch Mark from Tuesday to Sunday, from April 10th through the 25th. It's a one-hour show, just a short show for you, at the Melbourne Town Hall. Mark, thank you very much for your time today.
Oh, thanks a lot, and I'll sort of go on with the breakfast, yeah.
Yeah, enjoy your pancakes.
Cheers. Have a good morning.
Cheers, Mark.
Cheers. Bye.
That's Mark Watson. You can find out more about him at markwatsonthecomedian.com.
Oh, that one's going in the bloopers.
Oh, it's a Freudian slip right there. Lord, you're listening to Andy and Adrian. It's Wednesday, though.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.